Right now, you have 8,000 empty cars preparing to drive themselves around the state of Nevada, while General Motors is actively bleeding sales because they literally cannot figure out how to put a functioning music app on a dashboard.
Right. It's bizarre.
It is. Today's deep dive is mapping this bizarre and, honestly, definitive reality. The physics of software are breaking. We are examining skyrocketing AI output crashing directly into failing corporate governance.
Yeah, the structures are just buckling.
Exactly. The data stack today includes reporting from VentureBeat, TechCrunch, The Verge, Apple Insider, and 9to5Mac. We are tracking hardware companies aggressively retreating from immersive VR, and we are tracking the fatal software decisions that are literally splitting the automotive industry in two. So let's get into it.
Look, we are looking at a structural failure of containment here. The tech sector has spent, the last decade building physical and corporate infrastructure to manage human output.
Right, human speed.
Exactly, human speed. But the reporting today shows that when you inject hyper-productive, autonomous software into those legacy structures, the constraints just shatter. I mean, we are seeing it in the servers, we're seeing it in the financial ledgers, and definitely in the consumer hardware supply chains.
Well, let's start with the servers and the output, because VentureBeat reported this morning that Slack has announced Slack code.
Yeah, that's a massive shift.
It's huge. They are natively embedding AI agents directly into dedicated group channels. So we're talking about Anthropic's Claude Code, Cognition's Devin, GitHub Copilot, and Vercel's agent. All of them.
Just right there in the chat.
Right in the chat. You don't leave the environment anymore. Entire teams can watch, steer, review, and ship software together. You get live previews and code diffs generating in real time right there in the channel.
It's completely wild.
And Slack's interim CEO, Rob Seaman, stated in the briefing that code generation is no longer the bottleneck. He said ideas, taste, and judgment are the bottleneck.
Right. And Seaman's quote there, it really defines the pivot from, single player to multiplayer AI.
Yeah.
Because for the last 2 years, you ran an agent in an isolated terminal window. It's just this localized utility on your machine. But by dragging Anthropic or Cognition models into a shared Slack channel, the AI transitions into a persistent multiplayer organizational actor.
A coworker now.
Exactly. It is visible and auditable to the entire engineering org. Companies are basically attempting to manufacture enterprise trust by forcing the AI to work out in the open, treating it as a digital colleague rather than just a background script.
But, and here's the thing, the infrastructure cannot physically handle the volume that this digital colleague is producing.
No, not at all.
Look at the raw data GitHub just gave to Engadget. GitHub commits have doubled in the last 4 months.
Just 4 months.
Doubled. And it is causing platform capacity failures and massive outages at GitHub. The human infrastructure is literally breaking under the weight of machine-generated output. You cannot take a system designed for human typing speeds and flood it with agents generating thousands of lines of code a minute.
Well, you have to look at the mechanics of a continuous integration and continuous deployment pipeline, a CI/CD pipeline, to understand why the servers are failing here.
Right. Break that down for us.
So zero-friction code generation isn't just adding more cars to the highway, right? Mm-hmm. It's replacing the cars with high-speed trains without upgrading the physical tracks. When an AI agent pushes a commit, it doesn't just store a text file. It triggers a massive cascade of automated testing.
It kicks off the whole pipeline.
Exactly. The system has to run unit tests, it spins up virtual machines for integration testing, executes static application security testing, and then compiles binaries. The physical compute required to support just the administrative overhead of the synthetic code is entirely overwhelming the servers.
And that compute overhead is exactly why TechCrunch is reporting that Micro One, this AI data startup, just hit a $500 million gross run rate.
Which is astronomical.
It is. The demand for training data to fuel these very agents is surging parallel to the output. But I want to push back on the reality of Rob Seaman's philosophy at Slack for a second.
Okay, what's the pushback?
He claims humans are now just curators of taste and judgment. But look at the GitHub outage. If code generation is practically infinite and the only bottleneck is human judgment, human managers are about to be completely buried.
Oh, absolutely.
You cannot physically review a doubled volume of GitHub commits with adequate judgment. Like, an engineering manager cannot sit in a Slack channel, watch three different AI agents from Vercel and Cognition spin up thousands of lines of code with live diffs, and just apply taste in real time.
No, it's impossible.
The infrastructure failure at GitHub is just a preview of the upcoming failure in human management bandwidth.
Yeah, you are hitting on the critical shift in cognitive load. The engineering manager's job has moved from writing logic to auditing synthetic logic at scale. And the tooling to audit that logic has entirely failed to keep pace with the tooling to generate it.
This is totally lopsided.
Right. And the reporting from VentureBeat highlights a new integration from a company called NanoCo. They just released a Slack integration for NanoClaw, which is their enterprise-friendly autonomous agent harness.
Yeah, I saw this.
So you can now spin up persistent agent teams from a single Slack prompt. These agents have specific roles, memories, and custom avatars. They literally tag each other in the channel. You can even message them across Telegram and WhatsApp.
Which is crazy. You are deploying a synthetic department, and
Yeah.
you are messaging an AI on WhatsApp exactly the same way you would message a human contractor.
Exactly.
But this explosion of autonomous output leads directly into, well, the catastrophic failure of enterprise governance to control the very agents they are deploying. VentureBeat surveyed 107 enterprises, and the data is brutal.
Yeah, it's not looking good for IT departments.
One in five companies cannot stop a runaway AI agent spending in real time. 20% of these enterprises are watching agents burn through API tokens, and they simply lack the physical emergency brake to halt the transaction.
The VentureBeat survey exposes a really dangerous immaturity in enterprise governance. I mean, enterprises are prioritizing raw generative capabilities over basic financial and security controls. They just want the AI working right now.
Move fast and break things. All right.
Right, but it's breaking their budgets. And because of this panic, you are seeing massive orchestration fragmentation. The median enterprise is running three different orchestration platforms simultaneously.
Three.
Yes, 85% are using two or more, and 64% are using three. You have Microsoft AI Foundry in 70% of these stacks, OpenAI's SDK at 68%, and Anthropic's platform at 47%.
And TechCrunch notes that enterprise loyalty is highly volatile here. Businesses are constantly shifting workloads to whichever lab offers the latest model, specifically because they deeply distrust the security and permissioning protocols of any single vendor.
They don't trust anyone yet.
Right. There is no dominant enterprise AI operating system yet. Everyone is terrified of vendor lock-in, so they're just fragmenting their own architecture.
They are fragmenting it because the visibility into agent spending and token usage is completely opaque within legacy systems.
How so?
Well, when you deploy an agentic workflow, say an agent tasked with researching a market, which then spawns sub-agents to scrape data, which then hit proprietary databases to synthesize a report, each step incurs a microtransactional cost.
Right, every API call costs money.
Exactly. Traditional procurement and IT budgeting were built for flat rate SaaS seats or, predictable cloud compute cycles. They were absolutely not built for autonomous actors executing unpredictable API calls thousands of times a minute.
Which makes a contrast with the crypto sector incredibly damning today.
Oh, the Binance news.
Yeah. TechCrunch reported on Binance launching AgentOS. Binance is allowing AI agents to execute trades, conduct risk analysis, and interface with decentralized finance protocols.
High-stakes stuff.
Very high stakes. But Binance enforces strict financial sandboxes via sub-accounts. The agents are hard-capped by the wallet balance. They have a $50,000 daily swap cap, a $100,000 DeFi limit, and a $20 x42 transaction limit.
They built actual walls.
Yes. Binance has hard-coded limits to stop a rogue AI from draining a wallet.
Right. Binance architected strict, mathematically enforceable boundaries at the account level. The AI agent cannot spend money it does not have access to because the sub-account is entirely segregated from the main treasury and withdrawals are blocked by default.
Okay, but wait, are you seriously suggesting that Fortune 500 enterprise IT departments should take structural safety advice from a crypto exchange?
I mean,
Seriously, if Binance has the basic technical competence to hard code a daily sandbox to stop a rogue AI, why are 20% of Fortune 500 enterprises completely incapable of stopping a Slack bot from running up an infinite API bill? The traditional enterprise sector is just flying blind.
they are.
They are deploying NanoClaw agents and Devin bots into their operational pipelines without the fundamental financial guardrails that Binance implemented on day one.
The disparity is entirely architectural, though. Binance's core infrastructure is built on verifiable transactions and strict ledger limitations. A crypto wallet acts like a physical envelope of cash, When it is empty, the transaction physically cannot execute.
It just bounces.
Exactly. But traditional enterprise infrastructure is built on open API access and legacy billing systems that settle accounts at the end of the month. When an enterprise AI hits an API endpoint, the system assumes the request is authorized by a human holding a valid key. It does not check a real-time decrementing wallet balance. The enterprise software stack assumes a level of latency and friction that autonomous AI agents explicitly remove.
Okay, so while the software labs push out these untethered, hyper-productive AI agents into enterprise Slack channels, the hardware sector is slamming on the brakes.
Hard brakes.
They are looking at the physical vessels originally promised for these systems and realizing they just cannot deliver them. Apple Insider and 9to5Mac are reporting that Apple laid off an entire team of at least 60 employees in its Vision Products group.
Yeah, that's their VR team.
Exactly. These were engineers dedicated to VR development.
Look, the Apple Vision Pro layoffs represent a massive industry recalibration. The tech sector is essentially admitting that fully enclosed, immersive spatial computing has failed to find a commercial foothold.
It's over for now.
Yeah. Apple Insider notes that incoming CEO John Ternus has put the Vision Pro category on ice to pivot toward lighter AR smart glasses. The future they are betting on is ambient, not immersive.
And 9to5Mac actually leaked a video demo showing new Apple AirPods equipped with cameras.
Cameras on earbuds.
Right. That is the reality of the ambient pivot. Instead of forcing you to strap a thermally constrained computer to your face to enclose your vision, they are putting basic ambient sensors in the devices you already wear. The AI just watches the world alongside you.
It is a retreat to the path of least resistance. I mean, you reduce the power requirements, you eliminate the massive thermal constraints of rendering a 4K environment over someone's eyes, and you offload the heavy processing to the smartphone in the user's pocket.
Makes sense.
The camera on the earbud simply serves as a passive optical intake for the AI agent to understand context. But this retreat in form factor is happening concurrently with a deep, deep stagnation in smartphone innovation.
Yeah, Wired reviewed the new Google Pixel 11, and the improvements are purely incremental. Just boring.
Very incremental.
But it's actually worse than stagnation. The Verge reported today that Google included a new highlight LED array on the back of the Pixel 11 Pro, but they locked it down to just 5 colors and 2 extremely narrow use cases out of the box.
Why put it there at all?
Exactly. You have a flagship hardware feature, completely neutered by corporate software choices. It literally took a third-party developer, Dhananjay Tech, building an app called Highlight Studio to make the hardware actually function the way a user would expect.
Which is just embarrassing for Google. When a hardware manufacturer arbitrarily restricts a physical component via software APIs, they are attempting to dictate user behavior rather than enable it.
Right.
Hardware makers have totally lost the plot on user experience. They are either locking down features pointlessly, or they are shifting the burden of functionality entirely onto third-party software developers. I mean, look at the gaming space.
Yeah, The Verge had a piece on that today, too.
Right. The Verge reports that Genki launched the Manto wireless controller. And instead of relying on a console operating system for customization, they built a 2.9-inch LCD directly into the gamepad itself. Players can map buttons and adjust dead zones directly on the device. Hardware is actively trying to reclaim control from the software layer because the software layer is failing them.
But the hardware makers are also using AI as a desperate marketing crutch to drive sales for these iterative updates, and it is starting to backfire legally.
Oh, the Aura situation.
Yeah, CNET reports that Aura is facing a proposed class action lawsuit over false advertising regarding the accuracy of their AI sleep tracker.
Wow.
The entire hardware industry's current roadmap is just contradictory. They are simultaneously killing ambitious hardware projects like the Vision Pro, while desperately slapping AI labels on basic ring sensors and locking down LEDs on phones.
It's disjointed.
If you have to rely on a third-party developer to make a light bulb on a $1,000 phone flash the right color, your hardware strategy is fundamentally broken.
Well, the Aura lawsuit is the leading edge of consumer backlash against these ambient computing claims. When hardware innovation stalls into minor sensor tweaks, marketing departments inevitably lean on the software, specifically AI analysis, to differentiate the product.
Right, they have nothing else to sell.
Exactly. But if the AI sleep tracking algorithms are demonstrably inaccurate or they're hallucinating data based on low fidelity sensor input, the hardware becomes a liability. Consumers will not tolerate black box AI claims when the physical hardware provides no verifiable benefit.
No, they'll sue.
Right, and the legal scrutiny over these claims is going to intensify rapidly as ambient computing scales up.
Nowhere is this fatal disconnect between hardware execution and software integration more obvious than in the automotive industry. A simple dashboard interface is literally dictating the survival of multi-billion-dollar legacy companies.
It's amazing to watch.
Apple Insider reports that General Motors is actively bleeding vehicle sales because of their decision to drop Apple CarPlay in favor of building an in-house Android automotive OS.
A huge mistake.
Huge. A CarPlay-equipped EV is currently outselling its nearly identical Chevy counterpart by a widening margin.
Because the consumer verdict is final here, a car is now an accessory to the smartphone. The smartphone contains your communication protocols, your navigation preferences, your media ecosystem, and increasingly, your personal AI agents. Stripping away the preferred software interface is a fatal commercial error.
But GM thought they could force it.
GM believed they could capture recurring software revenue by forcing users into a proprietary infotainment ecosystem. They completely misjudged the reality that no amount of underlying automotive engineering, battery efficiency, or chassis design can fix a fundamentally broken user interface.
GM is losing actual market share because they decided to reinvent the MP3 player interface and failed. Meanwhile, the luxury market is abandoning utility for pure physical theater. Ars Technica reports Genesis debuted the production version of the GV90 EV. They are selling pillarless coach doors and a world-first roof-deployed rollover airbag.
It's all physical spectacle.
They are focusing entirely on the physical drama of the vehicle. But while GM fights a dashboard war they already lost a decade ago, look at what is happening across the street. TechCrunch reports that Tesla, Uber, and Waymo just received permits to deploy up to 8,000 robotaxis combined in Nevada over the next 12 months.
Yeah, the transit industry is fractured into two completely different software
Totally
realities.
different worlds.
On one end, companies like Waymo and Uber are successfully deploying highly complex life-or-death autonomous navigation at massive scale. On the other end, legacy automakers like GM cannot successfully integrate a music app on a dashboard screen.
It's pathetic.
The gap in baseline software competence is staggering, and it extends to logistics, too. Apple Insider notes that Amazon's drone delivery service just expanded by an additional 3,500 square miles. The physical world is rapidly filling up with autonomous actors executing logistics.
So you have 8,000 cars about to drive themselves in Nevada. You have drones covering thousands of square miles of airspace. And GM is losing money because they won't let you plug in your iPhone. The legacy automakers are completely blind to the autonomous scaling happening right next to them.
Well, the software that navigates a Waymo vehicle or an Amazon drone is a highly constrained, heavily governed autonomous system. The software GM is struggling to build is basic consumer infotainment. The fact that the same economy is producing both simultaneously highlights how unevenly software capabilities are distributed across different sectors.
Which brings us to the defining reality of the data stack today. You have AI coding agents taking over Slack channels, pushing infinite code while developers struggle to audit the output. You have earbuds gaining ambient cameras to watch the physical world. You have 8,000 robotaxis hitting the streets of Nevada. What happens when these disparate, highly autonomous systems inevitably have to interact with each other? When an enterprise's AI agent needs to negotiate a physical delivery with an Amazon drone or a Waymo vehicle, we will be relying on the exact same corporate governance that currently cannot even stop a Slack bot from overspending its API budget. We'll be back with the next stack of raw intel.